This is the Children's Home Hour, originating in Bristol, Tennessee. This is Brother Mike Nixon, and I'd like to welcome you to the broadcast today. Thank you for joining us and count it as a privilege of ours to come into your place of listening. We trust the broadcast to be a blessing to you. I'd like to begin it with a word of prayer, so if you could, pray with us. Fathers, we bow, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to be here on the radio. I pray for the listeners, the broadcast announcers, Lord, all of those involved in getting this on the air. Lord, I pray that you would have your will and your way. Lord, just move in the midst. We'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother, just want to make a few very quick announcements concerning the work that we're engaged in. Would like to ask you to continue to pray for our children's homes. We have the one here in Bristol, Tennessee, one in North India, one in South India, as well as the one in Romania, and all the feeding centers for the children in Romania and Bulgaria. And then if you would, pray for all those missionaries in those areas, as well as the Ukraine and other places that there's turmoil and trouble going on. But anyway, the Lord knows how to take care of this thing, and we need his help. We need his touch. And so if you would, we'd greatly appreciate if you'd continue to pray for us, and especially for his guidance. And I want to go ahead and give you our mailing addresses this week before we go to the service, and ask you to write us, if you would. Write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And at this time, we're going to go to the auditorium of the Brookside Baptist Church and have a song and a message. We trust it'll be a blessing to you.
If you fail to reach heaven, enjoy the sweetness of a child. In the land of darkness, you'll miss their sweet smile. If you fail to reach heaven, you better stop to smell the rose. For in the place you're going, pretty flowers don't grow. But oh, you don't have to go. Jesus died for your pardon, and friend, he loves you so. He's prepared a place in heaven where the flowers ever bloom. Don't you want to go there? He's coming back soon. If you fail to reach heaven, you've rejected the Son of God. How for you he suffered while on this earth he trod. If you fail to reach heaven, you'll remember each time he called. When you stand in judgment and it's coming to all. But oh, you don't have to go. Jesus died for your pardon, and friend, he loves you so. He's prepared a place in heaven where the flowers ever bloom. Don't you want to go there? He's coming back soon. Don't you want to go there? He's coming back soon.
Amen. Amen. That's good. All this has been good tonight. Appreciate God being around. Have your Bibles in Galatians chapter 1. And the first verse says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all of the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what I want to talk to you about. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and the Father and our Father. And to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I want to talk about Jesus and what he done for us. This brother talking about the benefits. Boy, this is some good benefits. I want to talk to you about Jesus that died for our sins. That he might deliver us. He might do it. You don't have to do it. He'll do it. He'll deliver you from this present evil world. Now that's what Paul is saying. And Paul said, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm an apostle. Paul said, I'm an apostle and not of man, neither by man. I didn't come of man or by man. I mean, God called him and chose him to be an apostle and met him on the road to Damascus, let him see him after the resurrection so he could be an apostle. And you can't be an apostle unless you're an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus after his resurrection. And so Paul said, I'm an apostle, not of man, by the will of man or not of man, but I'm an apostle of God. Now, God's the one that done this for me. But by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Jesus, talking about Jesus, raised him from the dead. And all of the brethren which are with me. Now, all the brethren wasn't with him. And all the brethren are not going to be with us. And all the brethren are not going to be with you if you preach the gospel. That's what I want to get down to in just a few moments about the gospel. Now, it said that he gave himself, Jesus gave himself for our sins. I mean, he gave himself for our sins. Now, if he done that, you don't have to do nothing. I mean, but accept him. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And we're already delivered, whether you know it or not. We've done been delivered. We're crucified with Christ, risen with Christ, dead to the world, don't have anything to do with the world. I mean the part of you that's saved is delivered from this present evil world. I mean you're already delivered. You're not going to get delivered when you die. Bless God, you're delivered. Now don't just listen to me. Don't turn the radio off if this happened to get on there. Leave it on there. I marvel, and so do I, Paul. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And the other gospel is that gospel that all these dudes are preaching, and they were preaching it over in Paul's day. We're not having anything new. This is the same thing Paul had. And they came down, and I was preaching it, trying to Thursday night. Felt so bad I couldn't preach, but anyhow, I tried. I mean, they came down from Judea and taught the brethren. Taught the brethren that they've got to keep the law and be circumcised. Let me tell you something. You never was under the law, and you don't have to be circumcised because neither one of it avails anything. Circumcision or uncircumcision, but a new creature in Christ, and that's all you need to be, and that's what you are when you get saved. The law of Moses ain't never going to save nobody. Moses never died for nobody. Neither did Paul die for anybody. Jesus done the die. And Jesus is the one that Paul was a-preaching. Paul wasn't a-preaching himself, he's a-preaching Jesus. I'm not a-preaching myself, I'm preaching what Jesus done for me. What Paul recorded that Jesus done for you and I. And he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now let me say this about the grace of God before I get on with it. The grace of God does not Necessarily, it is. It saves everybody. Jews and Gentiles are both going to be saved alike. I read that verse the other day over there in Acts chapter 15. I read it to you the other night. Acts chapter 15. I want to read it again. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's having some problems. They come and got the poor fellow out of where he was at down here and took him up to Jerusalem to meet the brethren. I mean, all of them apostles got to check him out. Bless God, let everybody in town check you out. I mean, them fellows knows nothing about what we're talking about. I mean, after a while, they got through all that rigmarole and had a big argument, and it didn't want no short time. I think they spent about so many days, no doubt, doing this. This wasn't a little, this wasn't no hour service that we're in now. Paul here in chapter 15, of the book of Acts, he says now they brought him up here for question. Brought him to Jerusalem to question him. Now, isn't that pitiful? I mean, Paul's been down there in the Arabian desert all these times, looking to God, waiting on God, forgotten all he ever known, and said, I want to get a revelation from God so I can reveal Jesus to the world. That's what God chose him to do. He's down there getting it, and then when he comes up there, they grab him and said, you got to go up to Jerusalem. You got to go to the convention, and we're going to straighten you out. We've got a fellowship up in Jerusalem, and we know what God's doing. They didn't know a thing about what God is doing. For the Apostle Paul, they knew what God had done for them, but they don't know what God is doing for us. Amen. They knew that God had done something for them, but they took Paul up there and they brought him on the way. They took him two or three places before he got there. And in verse 5, there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying, now these Pharisees, and I preached this the other night, but I'm going to re-preach it. That's what's on my heart. You see, these Pharisees, they believed, but they'd still been raised up and brought up with a bunch of Pharisees as grandpas and grannies. Didn't know a thing about God, knew about the law of Moses. But somebody had preached Jesus to them, they believed. Now, I mean, there's one thing to believe that he is, but you got to believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek it. So he said, and there arose certain of the Pharisees, I believe, saying that it was needful to be circumcised, that they circumcised them, and that to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. Now, did you understand what I'm saying? Here's a bunch of fellas saying, well, we believe. Well, now, what I care about what you believe. We believe that they ought to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. So the preachers got together and said, let's think this thing over and look it out. And verse 7, when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Why, he said, you know, God used me. I'm a Jew. Like they never got me to go, but I did anyhow. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as it did unto us. Now, verse 9. Put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. He said, God purified their hearts by faith. Amen. That's why you get saved. By grace through faith. Amen. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God? Now, when we try to get somebody to do what we think they ought to do, instead of letting God tell them what to do, we're tempting God according to this. Well, why tempt ye therefore God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither their fathers nor they were able, nor we were able to bear. He said, why are you trying to yoke these dudes up? Your fathers couldn't keep it, and we can't keep it. Oh, Peter, he's getting the guts, ain't he? I bet he's telling it like it is now. He's up there. He's in the middle. He's got the Jews on one side against him, the believing Jews, and the other crowd of Jews that stirred up the Gentiles, and another crowd of folks over here, and they're all mixed up. But old Paul is standing there waiting for his chance. Now listen. Here's old Peter standing up here saying, boys, your fathers couldn't keep... Hey, let me say this right hurriedly. There ain't none of these fellas are keeping the law that they're preaching. They're a bunch of liars. There's no of nobody keeping the law. Nobody ever done what they're preaching is doing. They didn't do it back in Moses' day. They ain't doing it this day. And you're not going to do it no day, because Jesus is the only one ever kept the law. Don't you think we'll live right? Why, sure I do. I think you ought to quit your low-down, stinking, rotten, meanest, tempting God and judging other fellas and go to praying somewhere in the bushes and pray for God to send me 100,000 pair of shoes for them folks over yonder and that's needing shoes instead of running your lip about how bad I am. That's what you ought to do. You ought to quit talking about, oh, Potter, he's all screwed up. Well, he may be, but I'm on the right boat. And I think I'm on the right boat. And I think I'm going to get landed one of these days with some good for somebody that needs it. God help a fella that ain't worth nothing but what he says. Running your lip all the time, doing nothing. And the cussing everybody that's trying to do something. I ain't got time to spit on you if you're a fire. I got too much to do. I really have. I wouldn't argue with nobody. I got no time to argue. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe. Jews talking. This is a Jew talking. This is a real full-blooded Jew that didn't believe Gentiles ought to be saved. This is a fella that God had to send two servants and an officer or a soldier over to get him to come preach to Cornelius. That's how stubborn this dude is. But boy, he's standing up for the right thing now. And this is what he said. This will blow you out of the water if you ever get what I'm saying. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about Israel. He said, we shall be saved. Even as they. Through the same faith and through the same grace that they've got, we're going to get it one day. You say, I thought they already had it. They have. But see, they hadn't come into it yet. They ain't got adopted yet. Why, some of them said, now we the sons of God. They found out, some of them said, but when he appear, we'll be like him. You see, they said, now are we the sons of God. That's them fellas that saw it. But these blinded boys ain't never found it yet. But one day when they see the grace of God, it'll be like it was over there in Psalms when I preached to you the other day, when they said he's done great things for them, and then he's done great things for us. Amen. Peter's is saying it's about the same thing here. We're going to be saved just like they got saved. We're going to be saved by grace through faith. You say, preacher, I thought everybody got saved. Well, they probably do, you know. They say Potter's got two ways of getting saved. Jews get saved one way and the Gentiles another way. I don't have no two ways. I just got two different times for them to do it. And I'm not the one done that. I'm just preaching what God said. Amen. I mean, I'm not the one who wrote this Bible. And amen. I'm not the one that done anything to it. I ain't never screwed it up and rewrote it. And I ain't never put the Greek on it or the Hebrew either. I can't hardly read the English. Most time I mess it up. But bless God, you know what I'm talking about. But let me read what Peter said over here in first chapter, 1 Peter, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Chapter 1 and verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith. You see, we got ours at the beginning of faith. Amen. When we believed. Now the end of our faith and their faith is something else, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Talking to Jews. Amen. That's who Peter's talking to. That's who he had the gospel to. Down in verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when is that supposed to come? At the revelation of Jesus.
Amen.
Y'all make up your mind when that is, see? See, they're not going to get it till the revelation of Jesus.
Yes,
and by the way, let me tell you something. You're not going to get it till there's a revelation in your heart.
Amen.
You don't get saved by education.
Amen.
You get saved by revelation.
Amen.
I mean, you got it. You can take all the education and stick it wherever you want to, because salvation is of the Jews, and salvation comes by grace through faith, and God has to wake you up, and God has to save you. But listen, you had no hope. You had no hope as Gentiles. You've got no hope as a lost Gentile. You're going to hell, and there's no hope for you because you trust Jesus. And that's if you heard the gospel. That's what it says. People said, oh, I believe in hope. Well, hope is seen and not hope. Well, I don't want that. Peter preached about all that hope business. He said, we're going to be saved like them Gentiles.
Amen.
He said, we shall be. Now, you think that over and smoke it in your pipe and get all your Greek and stick it up the creek. Forget about it. That's what he said to do.
Amen.
He said, you're removed. That called you to the grace. I'm back in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now say, listen to me, listen closely. I mean, how in the name of heaven does these fellows get so screwed up? God saves us Gentiles by grace through faith, and that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, and it's not of works. In that same chapter, he said, remember, wherefore being Gentiles, you didn't have anything. You had no hope, no covenant, no promise. You didn't have any hope. You didn't have any God. And if you didn't have any God, you didn't get elected. Because you got to be a God to elect somebody. And everybody thinks, well, it says grace, and that's election. Grace is not election for you. God elected Israel. Read it for yourself. Anywhere in the Bible you want to read, and if you'll take it right, look at it right, it's Israel that's elected, and God chose Israel. He elected Israel, and they are the elect, and they are the elect wherever you want to see it. And look at it. It's God elected them. And then he said, whosoever will, let him come take the water of life freely.
Amen.
So that means that if you're elected, you got that for the foundation of the world. And then whosoever will can come take the water of life freely. And that's any time after.
Amen.
God never elected nobody to go to hell. God never elected nobody to go to hell.
Amen.
Never in his... Why would God want to send somebody to hell when he loved the world so good he sent his son to die for it? I just read in the scripture what Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
Whose sins? Everybody's.
Amen.
We got these little puny doonies that runs all over the country because they're educated. I mean, you know, we got education. We know what we... I mean, theories will send you to hell
Amen.
In a handbasket.
Yes,
You better get somewhere where God can have a little revelation of what God's saying. You say, well, I'm smart. You're dumb as a coal bucket. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Which is not another. There ain't but one gospel. This is not another gospel. It's a perverted gospel. There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now let me say this. These fellas run around the King James Bible, talk about all these perverted Bibles. Bless God, the Bible that you preach out of could be King James. And if you don't preach that right and divide it right, you're perverting it. So you might write your RSV or whatever you want to, PSQNIV or JX, whoever. I mean, just go ahead and write one. You done screwed this one up because you won't believe it. Now, I know this ain't popular, but do you know what I'm looking for? God to bless me. I'm a needing 10,000 pair of shoes. Do you think I'm a waiting for these preachers to buy them? I wouldn't have them. I'm not looking to the preachers to buy them. I'm not looking to the churches to buy them. I'm looking for God to send them. In fact, I think the old ship of Zion is getting loaded up right now. I mean, the ship don't just import people sometimes. They convert them. I seen that and I come over on the George Washington. Come back home sick. Here's a hospital ship one day. And then today it's over yonder in the Gulf. I mean, loaded up with airplanes. Didn't only haul me home sick. It hauled some planes over there to take care of this country in case. Ain't God good? So the old ship of Zion can do whatever he wants to with it. He can take the sick home, he can bring the wounded home, or he can take a load of shoes over yonder, or he can do whatever he wants to. He got a body, and he's God, and he died for my sins, and I don't have any. Since he died, he come to deliver me from this present evil world. You say you're not delivered? You're crazy. Don't turn the radio off, this labor right there. I know you don't believe none of this stuff, but anyway, I'm going to preach it to you whether you believe it or not. It ain't my job. Bible said in the last chapter of the book of Galatians, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I mean, we done been delivered. If you got crucified, you've got nailed to the cross, you're delivered from this world, you're not in this. Oh, people run around. They say, bless God, I believe you ought to get crucified. I've done been crucified. And it's time to have to crucify a man to kill him. Amen. I've had preachers to run up to me and say, bless God, I think you need to be crucified. Well, I've done been crucified. How many times you want me to die? You can't die but once. I don't know how stupid they can get. Where'd they come from? For in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace on earth and mercy upon the Israel of God.
Well, I trust you've enjoyed the message this week. Once again, write us at Tri-State Baptist Children's Home, Post Office Box 888, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621, or at Charity Baptist Mission, Post Office Box 692, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. And until next week, God bless you.